Welcome to Bagel Tech Mac, the show from the Bagel Tech Network, which discusses all things iPod, iPod Touch, iPad, iPhone, and anything Apple or Macintosh based. And sometimes it doesn't even discuss that. It just goes off on a loose tangent because there's nothing else best to say. So we're here with a fantastic panel. We've got top left photographer and bon viveur, Alex Fox.
Good afternoon.
Good afternoon, mate. How are you feeling?
I couldn't be better.
Are you still raging at Virgin, or have you really genuinely got 100 megabits a second now?
Well, you know what? I did the photo show earlier, and yeah, I'm doing the Mac show now, and in between, my bloody broadband went down.
Okay, but as long as it's still back now, I don't care.
Oh, well, I'm all right, yeah.
Exactly. So are you seriously on 100 megabits a second now?
Yeah, just it's a bit iffy at the moment.
Oh, right, okay. I thought you were going to absolutely rave about it, but obviously...
Oh, when it works, it's beautiful. It just needs to work more often.
Jolly good. Next to him, Mr. Carl Swagger from the Philippines.
Hello.
Hello, mate.
On 3 megabits, lovely.
On 3 megabits a second, 97 below, but probably actually faster at this point in time than Alex is. What's been happening, mate? In the
busy week.
You've just been going like crazy, busy, though, working, haven't you?
Yeah. Well, you know, the things are getting more expensive, so you got to work more to actually afford to live.
SF Drummer's reckoning that it's delayed rapture on your Virgin Media going on there, mate.
October 21st now.
Oh, yeah, put back. That's right.
Been rescheduled.
Dr. Happy Mac, our Mac fixer to the stars. Hello, mate.
Pip, pip.
Busy morning for you, by the sounds of it.
Yes, but, you know, whatever it is, whatever client I've got, I'm always prepared to drop everything, leave them in the lurch, and get back here for this. So
even Patrick Stewart?
Yes. Good standing man there with a pile of cables and a sad look on his face.
But he understands, I gather.
Apparently he understands.
Tony the Cherry wants to know if you were busy making it so.
We always made, yes. Yes.
Stitching time. And last but by no means least, Tony Hancock. Hello, mate.
Hello.
Can I be Sid James?
Lively as ever, if you really want, mate. Lively as ever. Will Green from British Mac. How's it going, mate?
Oh, rotten. Got a rotten cold. Feel horrible.
So you got a red nose, which you don't want on video, and you're at home as well, just to make sure we couldn't have you on video, because there's no cameras there.
Yeah, no. It's, I was in London yesterday, and I got... I was feeling rotten because I was at a 4 o'clock start. I was feeling bad by the time I got there, and then I got caught in that horrible rain. Rain was amazing yesterday, wasn't it?
It was. Yeah. I was in Acton in London yesterday, and it was horrific. I was in a tin shed taking pictures.
I was underneath the car changing a tyre.
We stay there then.
I'd never got so filthy, wet, and dirty in my life,
and not had to pay for it.
Oh, yeah, tell me. I was going to just chuck the car. It was it. I'm getting a new one.
Jolly good. The Week in Macintosh, here to discuss the Macintosh news that there's been. Not much, of course. Apple's gone for an AMOLED screen for iPad 3, apparently, because Tim Cook's been off to see, is it Samsung? Samsung, yes. Toshiba, Samsung. Amazon have launched a Mac download store for Mac software, which sounds really quite interesting. There's a couple of rumours that Mac OS 10 Lion is nearly ready for release, and there's other ones saying that it's been internally tested now within Apple, so it could be out in a matter of weeks. There's also a big request for Aussie and British journalists to attend WWDC next week. They've been giving press pass tickets at the last minute if they can get their backsides over there. I am tempted. And the iCloud music service details have come out. Whether they're to be believed or not, I don't know. And there's a few legal stories kicking around, as there always is with Apple, but apart from that, it's pretty slim pickings, really. So if we can think of any peripheral Apple stuff to talk about, chat room, let us know. First thing, the AMOLED screen for iPod 3. Do we think that's a good idea, or do we think that's complete utter bull? Because I've got to say, the LED screen works really nice on the iPad 2 and the iPad 1. Would you see them jump into AMOLED? Because, I mean, it's got a terrible reputation for anything that's even a remotely bright environment, indoors or out. Or is that just another piece of bull?
Well, you can always fix that with the right type of grinding on the top cover plastic, can't you? I mean, the reason we have issues with it, it's not a non-reflective plastic. But as a photographer, you'll know that you can get bright screens for the back of cameras, which you can see in brilliant daylight. Mm. So it's get roundable.
Definitely. Can you just lean back a bit, Alex? You're looking like a bit of a ghost, mate. You're like Casper. It's not helped by the fact that that Kyle's buggered off and his connection's dropped. He did say there was thunderstorms.
Going back to your news stories, then, haven't you missed the big one? This big sort of fakey, virusy type thing.
Well, we kind of did Mac Defender last week, and I didn't want to kind of punish people too much with that. But
oh, did we? Okay.
Well, we touched on it, didn't we? But go on, and now we'll talk about Mac Defender.
Well, I didn't know anything about it, and I saw it on the BBC News today, and I thought, where?
No, we talked about it while you were here last week, mate.
Okay. Good.
Yes, you made some really nice comments as well.
Oh, dear mate. I wouldn't have left you out of it. Now, hang on a second, because Carl needs to come back. Got any video, mate?
I will have video in one moment.
Yeah, no.
Damn Virgin Media.
Mac Defender. This is a piece of malware that does a bit of drive-by on you. You click on the wrong link and it opens up a pop-up that doesn't let you close it. And even if you click on the white space, it sees that as a trigger to start downloading. That's had several issues come and go this week. Where, firstly, there was the issue of the fact that it was doing it and started the download process regardless. But you always had to have credentials for admin to get it to install. So there was a bit of defense there. You may have realized something was going wrong. But it's been the most successful piece of the limited scope of malware that's been out there so far. Hundreds of people have lost credit card details. All it wants is credit card details. It just looks for 16-string numbers and takes them away, and that's the end of it. It doesn't screw up your computer. It doesn't delete your files. It doesn't do anything horrific. What they've also discovered now is it's been kind of transformed, and it no longer needs the admin credentials to start the install process. Now, you'll still have to click, you know, OK and those kind of things from the installer Cocoa front end, but it's a big leap forwards for that. Now, there's also a story kicking around this morning that some of the minor changes that Apple have put in place to put paid to it have already been bypassed by the group that are doing it, so... It's a growing serious potential threat. Is that what you'd understood, Tony?
Well, yeah. Well, I don't really know. I just read the story this morning on the BBC, and I thought it was quite interesting. I suppose yes, as a threat, but probably more importantly, as the first real challenge to Mac security. I mean, we've always talked about it, and I've always said no, you don't need antivirus, etc.
Yeah.
But now I'm thinking with this advent of this new little beast, maybe times really are changing, and this one we should take a little bit more seriously.
Well, I mean, these kind of malwares have been around for a while. You click on a wrong link and something will start. The key difference with this one is that it used good social engineering and it got people to click OK, which has never happened before.
Isn't there a thing in the Safari preferences they're telling you to switch off?
Yeah, I mean, the default on Safari is that after you download a file, it says, do you want to automatically install this? And it comes with the default of yes. So unless you go in and change preferences to say, no, don't automatically download, then it'll start automatically anyway. But now what they're saying is if it starts automatically, previously you still had the defense of admin credentials, but that's gone. Go on, Carl.
I was going to say, don't you think that, you know, after all this time, we sit here and say this got a lot of people to click OK. Well, don't you think that we, you know, not all of us, but a lot of us clicked OK simply because we had this false sense of security? We had this warm, gooey feeling that I'm on a Mac and this couldn't possibly happen. No, never. And then that sort of they use that, shall we say, to their utmost advantage of reeling us in.
Well, I think that, yeah, the comment that Will's made there about I've always said you don't need virus stuff was one that was around the time that we did the special with Mark Sunner and Graham Cluley from Sophos. And there was a lot of poo-pooing about this not being a real issue. And Graham was pulling his hair out saying, no, this is an issue. This is coming. This will happen. This is not far away. Now, we published that episode less than 2 months ago. And we got a warning 2 months ago, and even at that point, we were poo-pooing it. And right now, there are people out there still saying, oh, well, calm down, you know. You've got to be stupid. You've got to click the wrong thing. You've got to not realise that well, that's the same with all viruses and malware, surely.
Yeah, but I would argue to say this is a fairly friendly one. And if this is going to get all the publicity possible, then, you know, maybe we've been lucky. maybe it's not the worst possible virus and malware that's ever going to be out there, and maybe a few people that were a little bit complacent might prick their ears up. So it might not be the worst thing that's ever happened to Mac.
I've got an uncle called Mac.
In the sort of slightly elevated or now probably sort of changed threat environment, I think it does behove Apple really need to look at that default Safari setting as well. I mean, it's a fair, that's got to be, you know, the first finger in the dike, is to alter Safari's behavior so that any file you download isn't automatically, you know, opened up as a as an installer.
You got to say, setting that to the default, even in the climate of 3 years ago, was kind of stupid.
Well, it was always stupid, but also, I mean, there's the other way of obviously now with Mac Defender not requiring a your admin account password, you know, that's an issue, but at least it will only install itself on that user. You know, there's a case people have said that, oh, you should never run your Mac as the admin user. You set the Mac up with an admin user, and the first thing you do is create another standard user account to work from and switch over to that. I mean, that's a slightly more secure form of working as well, to have the admin user account never logged in, and just work off a standard account and use the admin password as and when you need it.
I mean, that's an interesting point. I mean, Will, you've sold Macs to people, having worked for Apple in the Apple Store. I mean, that's never been something that's ever come up, which is, you know, have your admin account, make duplicate accounts. You can give admin privileges to those, maybe, or you could give, you know, high level privileges to them, if not admin, but never use your admin account as the logon. That's never come out from Apple as being.
I can't believe we skipped on from that, the first finger in the dike.
Well, we're a clean podcast, mate, and if we stayed too long on dikes, we wouldn't get that.
Oh, that was lovely.
There was a story today. You know the Google Wallet story? Hang on, let's see if I can find it. Do you know the Google Wallet story? The Google, no. Google Wallet came out yesterday, which is near-field communications for Android phones. So you can dab your phone against a pay service, and it'll debit your account. So you've top it up with money, and every time you swipe your phone, it'll take off 50p, £1.50, £10, whatever it is that you've bought with it. And there was a bit in the story that I when I read it, I did a double take, because it was just like, you couldn't have, you know, you're a journalist, you couldn't have picked a better phrase than this. And it says, Google today in California Superior Court alleging that former PayPal executive and one of his morning MCs, Osama Bedier, misappropriated the company's trade secrets. The suit further fingered Stephanie Talentius, formerly with PayPal, violating the terms of her contract. Like, that's the best it's you could.
I know, it's certainly violated her terms. I'm sure
violated her terms. Absolutely. I just think that's the best phrase you can come up with, even on an urgent story like that. I don't think so. Anyway, were we talking about anything at all? Will, you were going to give us a.
We've done it, haven't we? Have we done this one?
I think
what was the question? What did you ask me?
I asked about selling Macs to people, and there was never any question of giving them a second, you know, advice about second accounts and that kind of stuff. It was just take it home, switch it on, play.
I suppose. I don't know. My sort of role was a creative, and sort of during the chats and stuff, the training sessions I did, we talked about it. And because if your library file gets screwed, it's always good to have a second account, and so at least you can sort of test if there's a problem with the, when you log in, whether it's the library file has been screwed with, or, you know, it's been messed up, or so you log in with the other user. Well, that's about it, really, isn't it? I mean, I think we should take it a bit more seriously now, and but like with all best practices, it's they say. When you create your account, by default, if you're a new Mac user listening to this, when you turn on your Mac for the first time, the account that is created is an administrative account. You are an administrator, and sometimes it's as well, or best practice, to then create a second account, which is your main account, and set your privileges to standard user. And you can do this by going to System Preferences, Accounts, and just change it there.
But the important thing about that advice is, a lot of people think, well, do I have to log back in as the admin to install software? And the answer is no, because it asks for admin password.
That's right.
So you're not logging out and in to do it. It's a very, very simple process. It actually doesn't change the installation process one bit, does it?
No, I don't think so. And even if you're logged in as an admin user, I still think you have to enter your admin password to do those changes. So effectively, there's no difference.
Alternatively, get a frigging big dog.
Big dog.
Oh, my God.
Dr. Happy Mac, are you okay?
Yes, he's fine. He's there.
Okay.
Sorry, I've just unmuted the microphone.
I thought maybe he was eaten alive.
And as a great advertisement for Virgin Media, Alex Fox has disappeared.
Excellent.
Excellent. Jolly good.
But it's kind of with all things security. I've got a couple of clients that have kind of poked their noses above the parapet now with the Defender go, well, maybe I should think about security. And it's kind of like a trade-off, isn't it? Either you're going to be secure and life is going to be slightly more complicated and less convenient, or you're going to be open and things are going to be super convenient. That is not super all round.
The other thing that's... go ahead, sorry.
So I was just going to say, I've got some customers that they want to put another account on the computer for their children and they want to put a password in their account so the children can't get to it, but then they don't want to have to be bothered to actually type the password in to get back to their account. So it's kind of like a mindset. Some people, the actual physical barriers that being secure puts in the way of your working environment are still too much for some people. So it's like a perceived threat analysis.
The thing I always keep... We're talking about what we can do now and setting up separate accounts and all this. I'm trying to think from a marketing point of view what Apple does now. Now, maybe it's not this time, maybe not, but this is certainly a starting point for them. They got to start really looking at themselves and say, we've got a Mac. We've got to find a way to market the Mac a little differently now. I mean, we used to base everything on we don't get viruses, we don't get this. You're safe on a Mac. I mean, that is the presumption for so many years.
They've stopped doing that, though.
They've stopped it, but it doesn't mean that it's not that it hasn't entered the minds of the people. It doesn't mean that there's still. I still get people saying, "Well, I'd just rather have a Mac because I don't want a Windows machine. I don't want all the crap that comes with Windows." And to me, it's still very much rooted in the fundamentals of when you go get a Mac, you still feel safer. Apple needs to have a different marketing approach now, I think, than of saying exactly how it's marketed and what you can get. I mean, I guess they could start by doing that by maybe giving a free antivirus or something like that within the software, firewalls, these kind of things.
Apparently, from what I'd heard, though, that Apple had been putting a tiny bit of malware protection into the OS for quite a while now.
I know.
Apparently, it didn't work.
Sorry.
Go ahead, Will.
I was going to say, I bank with NatWest, and interestingly, when you do the online thing, they offer you a sort of antivirus protection for Mac users as well as Windows users.
Mm. I mean, one of the things that's quite interesting, there's a real myth kicking around at the moment within Mac users that everyone's saying, but you put AV on, it's going to really slow your system down. Come on, this is horrible. You don't want this. And I'm trying to think, well, why are you convincing people that not to use some protection? But B, you're talking out your backside, because actually, I run Sophos, and I'm not getting paid a penny by Sophos for any of the Sophos promotion that this network has done. It is purely, and neither are Sophos, because Sophos don't do domestic licenses. They only do corporate licenses. So when they give you a piece of software to use free of charge, it's licensed free of charge for domestic use. They ain't making a penny out of that, and they're not looking to convert you into being a customer. They've given this stuff away free of charge. It runs slick as snot on my computer. It's found loads of Windows stuff that's come through in email. We had one listener who got 80 pieces of malware that were in his inbox that he hadn't identified. They're actually in his trash and spam. And he was aghast that someone had even put anything on his computer without his knowledge, regardless of whether it was Windows only. And Andy, you're the technically more competent one than I am. I can't tell any difference whatsoever about the running speed of my computer, whether I've got Sophos installed or not got it installed.
No, the load balancing is very good on it. I mean, it really is very polite with the CPU cycles. If there's any the slightest hint that your computer's ramping up, then it goes straight into the background. I think that's one of the things they've obviously worked quite hard on. It's quite the politest bit of software. I mean, I remember back in the days, it was definitely put Norton on your machine.
Oh, God.
Oh.
So Yes, I mean, I have to say it's on mine, and I don't even know. The only time I ever know it's even there is when it comes up and says that email from UPS has got a virus in it.
I mean, Norton was like herpes for computers. Once you got
That's putting it mildly.
Once you got it, you couldn't take it off. Norton is a virus, says the chat room.
I don't think it was ever that bad on the PC, but I mean, they've got to the point where the little uninstall script.
I would totally disagree. It was horrible on a Windows machine. I mean, my God, on XP, hell, even 2000, you try to install anything. It was so bloated. I mean, my God, I got to a point as a Windows user at that time, I wouldn't even use it. I would just rather not. I would rather go without antivirus at that time, and because it slowed down the system so much. I mean, literally with your cursors going.
There was no uninstall provided with the install disk as well. So if you wanted to uninstall Norton, you had to go and get another piece of software from Norton. You had to find it on the website, which was never navigable very well either. And you had to bring it back to your computer and then use that to uninstall the original installation of Norton. Now, the chat room, to be fair, is saying that's not the case anymore. Norton is significantly better.
Yeah, that's what competition does, though, isn't it?
Yeah, McAfee's not getting a good review in the chat room at the moment. That's apparently worse. And Tone saying even Crap Cleaner was stumped by Norton, and it could get rid of virtually anything. So,
but going back to the Sophos thing, my brother-in-law has got a Windows PC, and it's totally screwed because it's so corrupted with viruses. So I thought, well, okay, what I could do is get the data off it and whack it onto an external hard drive. Could I use Sophos connected to my Mac to clean up the drive? Could I do that?
Yeah, Sophos. If you've got Sophos installed on your main root drive, anything that you install or anything that you attach thereafter, Sophos will go and clean external drives.
It's clever. And it's totally free.
Yeah. If you go to bageltechnews.com, you'll see the website there, and then scroll down to the bottom of bageltechnews.com. You'll see the UK2.net logo, then Screencast Online logo, and then you'll see the Sophos logo. If you click that Sophos logo, it's got a tracking URL that'll take you through to where you can download the Mac software instantly. It doesn't take you to their homepage, but you'll get free antivirus software, single user license. You stick it on one machine, they're happy as Larry. They couldn't care less.
You could do a new one called Sapphic, couldn't you? Sapphic antivirus.
Why? And
then we can get back to our one finger in the dike. That could be their logo. Sapphic antivirus, one finger in the dike.
If Graham Cluley's listening, I'm sorry, Graham. He's their CTO, and he's been on the show with us, and he's coming back on as well. We've got Graham Lee is coming on too, and they're going to discuss the current situation with the Mac malware in a couple of weeks, perhaps, and see where we're at. And by that point, it could have moved on exponentially, of course.
There's a whole marketing thing there, because you'd have Sapphic Antivirus Pro and Sapphic Antivirus Elite, couldn't you? So you'd be how many fingers do you want?
Yeah. You'd be right up to your elbow before you know it.
Oh, Todd. Elite, please.
Edit. All creatures great and small.
Oh, good God. Edit.
Anyway, yeah. The A5 chips rumour doesn't die, does it?
The A5 chips. Now, tell us more, Andrew.
Well, I mean, I thought that everyone poo-pooed that, like, and Will was like, oh, you know, that's never going to happen a few weeks ago when it popped up, and then it kind of bumbled around and everyone was going, oh, yeah, A5 chips. But it's still, they're saying, you know, now if there's rumours saying that Apple are testing A5 MacBook Airs, which I guess if it's ever going to go in a computer, it's going to go in the air. But it's weird that it's, you know, it just that it just won't die as a rumor.
Is this the risk thing? Is it?
No, you said a few weeks back, Will, that there was a story that you'd read about the A5 chip being used in all of the Mac desktops at some point.
No, I was talking about the risk chip.
A5 is risk. It's A5 is a risk chip.
Oh, there you go. That's it. Yeah. Sorry, I didn't know the name or number. Yeah, they're talking about the risk chip being in. I mean, let's be honest. iMacs are big laptops in a sense, anyway, aren't they? And I heard that it's going to be a couple of years down the line, but they're going to go to risk.
The one thing that we said at the time was we poo-pooed it because we said that you've got the. the coding issue then, because you're writing to two platforms, the Intel platform and the A5 platform with your
software. You always poo-poo my stuff.
No,
you
we
always,
do.
You, all of you do. I come out with this. I say, this is going to be the new iPad 2. Yes, it was. They're going to go to risk. I'm sure they are. You always poo-poo at you lot.
Yeah, but then
we... I'm where it. I'm totally where it's at.
Well, you are the man.
I think you should be listening to me a bit more.
You are the man. This is the man that didn't know that Mac, the subject he discussed last week was actually real until yesterday, thanks to the BBC. No, mate, all you've got to see it as look at the positive. Because we all poo-poo you, you get to have us be humble in front of you afterwards.
And I had Don the other day as well. Don had me, didn't he? Yeah, it doesn't matter.
No, what did he have you on? Go on, you can't do that.
I can't remember. Oh, it was about the download thing. I said, oh, no, they're never going to bring big products like Logic and stuff to the download store.
Yeah.
And Don said, I think they probably will. And he's absolutely right. They are going to, aren't they?
Yeah, they definitely are.
Back to the chip.
Go on then, sorry.
No, I think it's intriguing. It's also interesting that they're talking about these A5 chips and they're talking about testing these A5 chips. But it's exactly the same time as Intel announced their new future 3D chip infrastructure. Now, if you look at the power of that 3G chip and the way it works, it would suit Macs down to the ground. It's all about multitasking and it's all about, you know, low power usage and low heat and all the rest of it. So maybe part of this is they know something new is coming from Intel and they want to try and get a good deal out of them, so they don't want to appear so keen.
Oh, so they're playing a bit of a bluff here. They're saying that we've got the A5 chip ready to go. Intel can go stuff themselves.
Yeah, because to me, okay, the A5 chip is a downgrade. Now, you think about, I don't know, the MacBook Air. The MacBook Air really is just a glorified iPad with a keyboard. I mean, it's obviously slightly more, but the infrastructure, the way it's built, is quite similar. But, you know, for a desktop computer with what goes on with video cards and various other things, you really need something with a bit more kick than, you know, a glorified iPad. So I think there might be, I mean, we're talking about a couple of years down the line, and if this new Intel chip comes out at a reasonable price, it's just going to blow everything out of the water. And I think Apple would be really, you know, slit in their throats if they didn't use it.
I think Alex might be onto something there. We always talk about the MacBook Air being the bigger iPad out there. Well, why couldn't it be? Why couldn't the A5 chip be for that? Why couldn't the MacBook Air run iOS?
Oh, yeah. So you're saying that the MacBook Air won't be running Lion, it'd run iOS purely?
Well, I'm thinking with Lion coming around, will it be able to handle it? Will it be able to do what you know, on a desktop, on a MacBook itself, MacBook Pro? You know, you always hear that about the MacBook Air. Oh, it's like a big iPad with a keyboard. Well, maybe that's what Apple's thinking too, that it could be this. It's, you know, maybe not exactly the same as you're seeing on an iPad or on an iPhone, but running a version of iOS using an A5 chip, then it could work.
Well, you could always have the option, couldn't you?
Or a dual boot.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Because that would work lovely with a solid straight drive, wouldn't it? I mean, the thing with the MacBook Air, I mean, we're photographers and, you know, we got Photoshop and things like that. We all know that the MacBook Air is more or less completely useless for anything we need to do. So it is a pretty and small word processor, internet viewer sort of machine. And that's something that iOS can do quite adequately. So maybe you'll have two versions. You'll have, you'll have a MacBook Air on steroids that have an Intel chip and run Lion, and you'll have a MacBook Air for the handbag. They could bring out a 7-inch MacBook Air.
I was going to say, no, is that the separation then between the current 11-inch and 13-inch?
That's what I was going to say.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But of course, also, if you're using iOS, you don't need any, you know, you don't need a DVD drive. You don't need any of those things that need to bring down, you know, large amounts of data in one go. So you could basically use it purely as a Wi-Fi enabled thing.
See, I mean, the thing you've got at the moment is you've got the core i7 and i5 chips almost across the entire range, haven't you, in the bigger mm-hmm. desktops. So A5 is never going to compete with that, surely.
No.
Unless they're bringing out A5 plus A6.
But like I don't think it's meant to compete with it. I think it's supposed to be for a different line, for a different operating system.
But from what I've read, I actually took some time to read about this new chip infrastructure. If you like a Celeron version of this new 3D chip, which will run a lot, you know, it'll be a lot lighter, it'll be a lot smaller, and it'll take, I mean, I think they're talking about an eighth of the power consumption, which obviously in mobile devices is the big drag factor. Mm. Now, that chip, a broken down version of that chip, it'll be twice the power of the chips we've got now and use half, quarter, an eighth of the battery usage. I mean, that's got to be the future.
Andy, what's your thought on this as in terms of, you know, understanding the tech specs a bit more? Are you looking at Lion as being a separated OS, or is the line between iOS and Lion going to be very much more blurred, do you think?
No, I think it's kind of more blurred, isn't it? I think that the idea that you can look at Lion in a very large number of very iOS-like ways is obviously designed to blur the line between the two, and I could kind of see that that might make it feasible for Apple to look at running iOS on an Air, for example. But to be honest, I don't know. I don't think so. I don't see OS X going anywhere soon off anything that Apple regards as a laptop or a desktop. I'm not sure that the ARM thing is anything more than the fact that Apple, you know, years before they switched to Intel, there was rumors and talks that Apple had, you know, Quadras running over System 9 and System 6, 8 and 7 on Intel chips, to, you know, in the office somewhere. So I suspect it, you know, I reckon that's as far as it goes. I can't see them leaving Intel.
Ooh.
iOS making it onto the desktop.
So, Will, do you feel that you've been poo-pooed again or not?
Well, yeah, I suppose so. You wait. You f***ers wait. It'll happen. No, that's not a swear word.
33 minutes in.
Shh. It'll happen. I mean, remember that historically, Apple have invested a lot of money into the ARM processor. And it powered the iPhone for a long time. Historically, because I always like to put computing. I love a bit of retro computing. I always like to put it in its sort of historical perspective. That the original chip was, the instruction set was designed by, now she's Sophie Wilson, but originally it was Roger Wilson. And if you're listening...
Say that again.
Roger Wilson.
It was originally designed by...
Roger Wilson.
Who's now...
Sophie Wilson.
So he's had a close connection with a set pair of scissors.
Pretty much. Yeah,
he's had his finger in the dyke.
Now, I don't want to make fun because he's a very nice person. So I'm not joining in on that one.
I think both his versions were lovely.
Yes. Brilliant, brilliant lady, and
he was a brilliant lady. Hey, and again.
Anyway, but historically, I'm going. I was being serious here. It's historically a serious point that it's. Okay, here it is. Go and check out the film Micromen. You can get it pretty much everywhere off the torrent sites and stuff like that. It's an amazing film done by the BBC, and it will put the sort of the whole historical basis for the ARM chip into a real perspective.
Okay, back to the ARM chip though. Why would Mac spend so much time and effort rewriting from Leopard to Snow Leopard and then reducing the framework by such an enormous amount to get the the gigabytes down, because they threw away all the old coding because we didn't need it anymore? And then why would they then reverse that decision and then basically have an operating system that you're going to have to then fill with two sets of the same thing that they've just spent all that time and effort getting rid of?
The times are changing. Old operating systems are gone. I think the time that a particular operating system was tied to a particular processor or a particular platform, it's gone. That's early 2000s now. The new decade will be fluent operating systems that can work with any processor, because they're the instruction set to a certain extent will be shared, and it won't be an issue anymore.
No, but it never was an issue. Then Apple made it an issue, and now you're saying they're going to make it not an issue again.
Yeah, because it wasn't an issue. Changed, you could, I mean, that's the wonderful thing about Apple is that they really do progress. It's like the what's crappy Windows still using? The BIOS.
Yeah.
Chip. Mm. You know, like it's with everything about Apple, they I think they look at the bigger picture, and I'm sure if you're in the strategic team in Apple, they are thinking, right, this again with the old PowerPC and the Intel, the operating system was running on both at the time. But now they're strategically they're stepping away and they're saying where is Apple going to be in 10 years or even 20 years time, and they're coding right now for that basis. That's why people like IBM and have totally died, because they got stuck in the past, and that's the reason I think that Apple are so successful, prolific. It's because they're looking at the bigger picture and saying, okay, in 10 years time or 20 years time, it's not going to be so much hardware. The hardware is probably the least important thing today. The movement to the cloud, just exactly. Everything, the whole sort of ecosystem of computers is changing rapidly, and in 10 years time everything will be totally different, and Apple will still make the best computers in the world.
Well, I think that's exactly the point, though, Will, isn't it? They're absolutely right in saying that in 10 years' time, nothing will apply. All the rules that we currently hold dear will not be applicable. But surely that defies, then, the ability to plan ahead and make a decision for 20 years' time.
You've got to do that. You've got to back up. Strategically, if you act as the market changes, then it's too late. You have to take the netbook, for instance. You know, if Apple thought, right, okay, this is the way the market's changing, we're going to make a netbook. They don't do that. What they look at it and they say, right, the netbook is just a blip or a particular fashion of the time. They've got to look at the bigger picture and say, okay, where are we going to be in 5-10 years' time? And that's what you've got to make the future. Apple makes the future. It's not the trends or the fashion that makes the future. It's the visionaries.
You're a toss of the coin, though, between... I mean, that's where you are, a toss of the coin away from being an iPhone or a Kin. That's what you're saying there is that people are gambling, effectively.
Of course they are.
And you gamble well, you end up iPhone 4. You gamble badly, you end up Microsoft Kin.
But that's assuming that Apple have got it right. We don't know. I mean, the netbook was around a lot longer than the iPad's been around so far. So that's assuming that everyone's going to chuck away their netpad or netbooks and never use anything like that again. Now, I don't care what fancy language Apple came up with. The MacBook Air was a netbook. That's what it was. And, you know, it's like saying...
It is now.
Yeah, but you think about it. Apple started digital cameras. We've discussed this before on the photo show. But they couldn't manage it. They chucked in the towel. Now everyone else has taken over that market. Not everything Apple does is right. Now Apple, they like seemingly taking risks, and they like believing they're market leaders. But you know, they didn't design the MP3. They just built an MP3 player to sit on the back of someone else's work. So just because Apple think, but I mean, I hate to disagree with Will because he's so lovely. But the fact that Apple had a multi chip system. They threw that away to make Leopard into Snow Leopard, and then subsequently Lion is only going to work on Intel chips that are past a certain age. So you're not even going to be able to run it on all Intel chips. Just if I can check with Dr. Happy Mac, that is the case, is it?
Yes. Oh, okay. Intel Core Solos and Core Duos not supported. It's just
exactly. So they're actually going further away from this idea of being able to run uniformly on anything. They're actually going further away than you're suggesting. If they bring out an A5 chip in 2 years' time, that then means that every operating system, maybe Tiger would work on it, and maybe Leopard, but everything subsequently isn't going to work at all. And that's my issue. It's you know, they're basically doing you're going to have to throw away your old machine or not be able to use the newest pieces of software. I think they'd be cutting off their nose despite their face. They may be they are definitely leaders in the marketplace in design, but they're not necessarily leaders in some of the, I mean, I honestly, I've been looking at Linux lately and I've because I'm getting into it, I can see a lot of things that Mac, if Linux was a Microsoft and it was a single entity, a single company that could take Apple to court the way Apple are taking other people to court for infringement, I think Apple may be looking over their shoulder a little bit. I don't know if that's, I'm allowed to say that, but that's the way I see by looking at the new, well, the newish Linux. I can see where Apple got some of their ideas, especially, say, the App Store. They're making a big song and dance about the App Store. Well, the Linux have been doing that for years and years and years. In a very, very
package manager.
Way. Yeah.
Package
but
manager.
I don't know why nobody will jump up and down, because there's not a single person to sue Apple for taking the idea of the App Store. So I don't think they're as perfect as, maybe being on a Mac show I shouldn't say, but maybe they're not maybe as perfect as we'd like to think they are.
I think there's a subtle truth in there. I mean, I don't think we are Apple fanboys, so we understand, we praise them, but we also have to look at their faults too. But I actually want to touch on something Will said a second ago. It's to the cloud. I think we're all forgetting about this aspect of Apple, and I think Apple's keeping it very quiet until about the last 2 weeks about getting the music to the cloud. They're talking more about iCloud and all this. We don't know exactly what it's going to be yet, but obviously we're going to see integration with iTunes, documents. Who knows where this thing can go? And I really think they're going to pull a fast one on Google. And watch for this cloud-based operating system overtake Google Chrome OS and actually be functional, and actually look for it to be something that people can really use and will become appealing. And then you will see that thing spread over your iPhone, spread over your iPad, your MacBook Air. It'll integrate with Line. You're going to have all this thing that we've always dreamed about, that we say, I want to pick up from here. I started here. I want to go there. And you can do it with a cloud-based operating system. I really think that's where Apple is headed, to be honest.
But the trouble is that they're using someone else's infrastructure that is not up to the job yet. You could bring out a cloud system tomorrow, but you're going to only be able to use it when you're plugged into your Wi-Fi at home, because you're certainly not going to be able to do it over 3G.
But you're not going to have a cloud OS. You're going to have a cloud-friendly OS.
Yeah, but how are you going to get anything down? If the idea is you do it on the move, well, my iPhone wouldn't be able to download an MP3 fast enough to be able to play it.
No, I mean, I've got Last.fm on mine, and I try and run it sometimes in the car, and it's pointless.
Yeah, so, I mean, the technology may be a fantastic idea, but they're relying on other people's infrastructure, and that infrastructure is nowhere near there.
Will?
Hello,
Will?
Hello? Yeah, I'm still here.
You're very quiet. It's all right, because you had a kind of challenge there from Alex, that he thought you were a lovely man, but...
But he agrees
he's a lovely man, at least.
I think everything we've discussed is pretty much the same thing, but just subtle differences, really. It's all about time frames, isn't it? And I suppose the point I was trying to make is the time frame for this move from the one processor to the other is probably going to be 2 or 3 years. And in that sort of time frame, the actual sort of local machine will become less and less important. As the cloud takes over, and the virtualization software that will allow virtually any operating system to run on any processor will get better and better.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that it's all about making money to a certain extent for Apple as well. And if they already own a good portion of the ARM processor, it makes a lot more sense to employ that than, for instance, the Intel processor and something like that. I took the point about the graphic side of things, but I think that will continue to be a separate chip and a separate manufacturer. I can't see, well, maybe in years and years, but at the moment, I think it makes more sense to keep the chip. So the processor chip and the graphics chip will be continue to be separate, just for better performance, really.
I mean, purely from the temperature viewpoint, especially with graphics, you're not going to be able to encapsulate that in a single chip at 2 gigabytes of video RAM or 1 gigabyte of video RAM.
Yeah, absolutely. So basically, you're all wrong, and I'm totally right.
What's interesting...
Also, there's, just to pick up on another thing that Will skated over there at the beginning of his assertion...
Rant.
...would be that he did rather choose to point out that the death of IBM in the week that IBM actually returned and went past Microsoft for market cap this week.
Mm.
So don't let the facts interfere with a good argument.
Yeah. So the company that everyone always holds up as the poster boy for... blowing it is back.
Didn't see that at the BBC, did you, Will?
Ewan, could OS you edit two. That bit out for me? Is that all right?
OS 2 is back.
Yeah.
Interestingly.
Yeah, you can always ring Risk OS, I suppose, with the A5, can't you? That'd be right.
But interestingly, if you actually run in a, say, on your iPhone, whatever this is for, like, for instance, some of that Sky Map software, etc., and the process is working fairly hard and it's not shutting itself down every 2 minutes to go into a sort of a sleep mode, the damn thing gets incredibly hot.
Mm. Mm.
So that says to me that this ARM processor isn't quite as cool and sleek as we're led to believe it is. It might well be when it's not doing very much, but you actually give it something to do, it burns up these just as hot as an Intel chip does.
Yeah, but you're forgetting an iPhone, your hand is like millimeters from the chip.
Oh, no, granted, but, you know, just these things do run pretty hot when you actually give them something to do.
The only thing I'd say in counter to that, though, Handy, is if you're doing things like the Skywalk stuff that you recommended the other week, you tend to hold the phone, you know, at the corners, you know, and you're not actually encompassing it with your hand to a very great degree. You know, it's moved around more like a camera would be, perhaps.
You could get a plastic hand to hold it, couldn't you? You could hold the plastic hand.
Monty Python style.
No, I don't think that I don't think that the A5 chip or the phone runs particularly hot compared to a desktop. I mean, even my i5 MacBook Pro is, you know, if you put it on your lap, it's still doing a fairly good impression of a toaster.
Cool.
I think that given the amount of computer and heat dissipation between my laptop chip and me, and the same amount of heat dissipation and space between my hand and my iPhone, I think the A5 probably does a pretty good job.
Yeah.
I'm sure it does. You know, it's obviously better than an alternative at the moment, but I don't think it's, you know, I don't think it's the panacea that it's made out to be.
I think the point that's been made in the chat room, which you'll resonate as well, though, Alex, is the heat issue that there was with the first generation unibody MacBook Pro.
Oh, God, my whatever it is, i7. I could put it on top of a roast piece of lamb and it would roast it.
Mm. Or nuts, according to British Mac fans.
Oh, tell me about it.
Right, have we got any cool things? Any eye thingies?
Yeah.
Or have you got another? Have you got another story, Will?
Is there any other stories? I don't think so.
Don't
again,
it's like
the chap. Like, I thought he was quite good. The kid that Apple stepped on with the white eye was quite cool.
Because they issued a directive against him, didn't they? They initiated the court, but they issued a summary dismissal at the same time.
Yeah, I thought they were both. I think they were remarkably lenient. I think they're almost the good guy there. I mean, yeah, it was funny. He's, you know, he was trying to get some college money together, apparently. Although that's maybe just an excuse, but I think Apple did the absolute minimum. They have to step on copyright and trademark things, otherwise they lose them.
Well, he was trying to get a bit of money for college. Is a little bit kind of, it's very complimentary considering he made $130,000.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's about 6 weeks worth.
His college fund, his in brackets college fund would have continued to grow for as long as Apple had let him get away with it.
Yeah, exactly. But
I think that they were very restrained. They just said, no, slap, stop that, and then withdrew. I mean, they could have emptied a bucket of crap over his head.
Yeah, but they're not the American government going after people with disabilities for hacking into computers, are they? I'm the only one that knows what I'm talking about.
No, you are, yeah. Will, do you want to come back on that and disagree?
No, I was thinking about that. Or are we talking about him, the bloke who was going to be deported?
And yeah, they created a made-up disease from him.
What's his name?
Faye. Faye Lamb, maybe he had a sex change as well.
No, what was his name? He hacked into the American thing looking after you.
Oh, McKinnon, Gary McKinnon.
Gary McKinnon, that's it. And it was nice and encouraging to see, because I'm sure everybody in the tech community wishes him the best. And I'm sure there was no evil intent with him. And the Prime Minister stepped in and looks like he's going to be... it's going to be okay for him. At least some of the signs are positive, which is wonderful news.
No, I think this is a sensitive fact, to be honest.
Maybe the Americans should give him a job to try and show them how to protect their systems.
Well, that's right, isn't it? I mean, Christ, I'd pay to be jailed in America.
They do pretty much not like to be jailed anywhere, actually.
Yeah, I can say you
especially if Louis Farou was coming for a visit.
Your butt ring expands either way, any country in the world where you go for a long stretch.
It's always been one of my dreams, not dream, but like, you know, you have these ambitions in life and you want to tick one off. And you know the PG Wodehouse stuff, and when he spends the night in jail for knocking the policeman's helmet off. One day I'm going to do it. One day I'm going to have a night in jail for knocking the policeman's helmet off.
Are you going to be the man or the woman?
I'm a lover, not a fighter, so I'll take it either way, to be honest.
Oh, good God.
You'll be quite well off in prison.
Moving on, in the chat room, apparently, K53K says that this dude sold one of these white iPhone conversion kits to us.
Yeah, I believe that's correct. I mean, I think that's correct. I remember Waz saying about that he bought the white iPhone off some kid or something or other. It's kind of funny. I'm glad Apple did handle it in some way, but at the same time, I think it's more of saying, hey, Apple, the kid beat you to it first. So. Yeah,
they didn't squash him, so it's not the end of the world.
No.
Oh, the anti-publicity for doing anything too horrible to him wouldn't have been worth it.
No.
They've actually come out of this looking quite smiley and nice.
Yeah, because they've got the instant dismissal. They've actually got this idea of, oh, maybe they just let him get away with it and keep the money that he's had already and just say, knock it on the head and we'll leave you alone.
But yeah, they've taken the cash.
They've taken all the money as well, though, haven't they? Yeah.
Hopefully, they've given it to a charity.
Yeah, because they really could do with the money, couldn't they?
Yeah, I know.
Yeah.
Definitely. Right. Have we got any cool thingies? Alex, would you like to start us off?
Yeah, I've updated it recently that made me realise that it didn't come with my computer. It's called Growl, Growl, and it's just a little bit of software that just pops up all these little, I think what the word is now, because I've lost my thing. It just pops up on the screen and it tells me when something's happened, like I've got a mail or my toast titanium has burnt my disc. So I can have multiple screens open. I can be doing what I want to be doing. And in the background, when something else is going on, it just pops up in the corner and tells me it's finished. And it works in quite a lot of different bits of software. And, you know, I'm so used to this thing being there, I'd forgotten that it didn't come with Snow Leopard. So that's how intrinsic I find it in my daily workflow. And it's a free bit of software. It's Growl, and apparently it's the most infuriating, yet one of the most useful tools on the Mac, which I'm reading very quickly. I find it really, really, really useful. Yeah. And there's quite a lot of add-ons that you don't get with a standard piece, again, all free. And I just think it's a great bit of kit for nothing.
I say something at this point?
Go on, yeah, please do.
I think it's crap.
Thank you.
I was about to say, if you find Growl seems to be a very much like a Marmite application. There's people that can't live without it, and there's people that think it's the biggest pile of crap that there ever is. So go ahead. Why do you think it's crap, Will?
It's irritating. You're working away and it pops up and says this and this and this and this. It's distracting and serves no useful function at all.
Okay.
Sorry if that seems slightly opinionated, but I have got a cold and I'm rather miserable. I
mean, just because you're wrong, it doesn't mean you're not entitled to your opinion. I find, especially when I'm doing things like burning discs, you know, some of us, you know, work for a living. And when I'm sort of working on pictures and things like that, and I need to have other, you know, I need to actually be working, I'll be burning a disc at the same time, and I'll have my email somewhere else at the same time and all the rest of it. And it's just something that pops into the corner of the screen and I go, oh, my disc is done. Okay, well, that's nice to know. I'll deal with that now. So I'm not sitting there constantly flicking through screens, trying to work out what's doing what and what's finished and what hasn't.
And yeah, but it just ejects at the end anyway. You know when it's done, because it ejects.
No. It might do if you don't want to mount it and verify it and various other things. So I don't know what software you're using, Will. But I just let things run, and it just pops up and tells me what's going on. I mean, since we've been talking here, I've had about 10 emails, none of which I've needed to open because they've popped up with the first line in the corner. And no, I don't need to look at that right now. And so the very fact that it's popped up means it's not disturbing my workflow. So never mind.
But doesn't that irritate you when it keeps popping up with it? You know, this has happened, that has happened.
I've got to admit, I don't take that much notice of it other than it's a quick reference to something's going on. I mean, it's like my phone. If I get a text or a tweet or something, it pops up on the home screen. I see it, and then I know whether I want to go to the trouble of opening it, looking at it, reading that mail, reading that text or whatever. It's just a quick reference to tell me what's going on around me, and I find it quite reassuring. It's like having a secretary that's just telling me what's going on, and it's up to me whether I want to act on it or not.
I'm on my own here. Okay, you've got your iPhone, for instance, and I'll just take this as an example of how I perceive Grell. And you check your email, and you can't get a signal, so it comes up, cannot connect to this, okay, cannot connect to this, okay, cannot to, and you think, f*** off, would you? You know, you can't Jesus connect, because I haven't got a signal, oh, sorry.
That's the difference between living in London and not living in London. I don't tend to have those issues. I just think, you know, I'm not quite sure why we're getting an argument, but
I'm purely being...
Of course, you haven't got a bad bone in your body, we know that, but... I just find the whole thing very useful and not distracting in the slightest. I think you need to choose to be distracted by little things rather than and living your life more relaxed and not distracted by very much.
Okay, that's the longest cool thingy we've ever had. Thank you, Alex.
I'm the first person to be argued with.
Is it free?
Yes. Yeah, no one's going to pay for that rubbish, are they? Yeah.
Oh, classic. Right, thank you, mate. Kyle, we would have had your cool thingy, but we've run out of time, unfortunately. No,
I forgot what it was anyway.
What's your cool thingy, dude?
iTransmission for the iPhone. Now, this needs to be jailbreak, so you'll avoid your warranty. You'll piss off Steve Jobs in the process. But however, if you want to install Cydia on your iPhone, you can take advantage of a torrent client on your phone so you can get all the lovely pirated stuff that Will puts up on the Pirate Bay right on your iOS device.
Good, man.
It's free.
Rubbish.
It's kind of cool, actually. It's kind of cool. I thought it was kind of neat that you could actually download. Of course, it needs to be jailbroken, I didn't jailbreak mine.
And of course, so there is malware.
Oh, there might be. I don't know. I tried it on the Wise phone. It works pretty well. So,
yeah, no, I was going to say, if you have a sex change, is it femaleware?
No comment.
Femaleware. iTransition, download it, and it's free.
Yeah, it's free. Of course.
Jailbreak only.
Wouldn't have it any other way. Life, jailbreak only, though.
You take your life in your hands.
That's right.
Back, Andrew Stevens, what about you?
Yeah, I must say, I did do a bit of an experiment with the... Obviously, I would say that downloading in from torrents and things isn't big or clever, although it's quite big and clever. And I did do some... Just to test, and I was quite surprised the number of files you download from torrent things, and the antivirus pops up and goes, meh, meh, that's infected, meh, that's infected. So that's quite a salutary thing, that if you're going to do that sort of thing, that you are putting yourself...
Was this a journalistic endeavour, or were these perfectly legal torrents?
Yes, it was both, and... Yes, that's it. It was exactly that.
Thank you very much for clarifying.
It was Ubuntu for Mac.
Yes, it was some files that I'd arranged. No, I was just surprised. It's, you know, just to spin it back quickly before I do a cool thing, it's great. The virus is fantastic. Not so many viruses, but you can actually go out of your way. And that's one of the places, if you're going to be doing that sort of thing, you're going to come up against more infected files than I would have imagined there would have been. My cool thing is an iPad app, which is one of the ones. There's two iPad apps that really kind of work really well on the iPad that take advantage of how the iPad works and kind of make you realize that somebody's put some work into it. And one of them is Solar System, which is the Marcus Chown app, which everyone's been blanging on about, which is excellent. But on a similar thing is a one called Weather HD, which is the nicest way of looking at the weather that you could imagine.
Yeah, there is a nice one, but you've got to watch out because there's a nasty one, isn't there? Weather HD, there's Weather HD and Weather Space HD, and they're two completely different user experiences.
Are they?
Yeah.
That's more of a whether or not.
I've got Weather Space HD.
Right, there's a good one and there's a bad one, so you have to have a little play.
This one's a good one. Weather Space
This is the one that's got like the swaying cornfields in the background when it shows you a nice hot summer's day. Yeah, it's beautiful.
And sort of phases of the moon when you're at night and stuff like that. It's the first one.
It's the first one that was put in the store because I downloaded it almost instantly.
It's lovely, and it's just, the weather's the weather. It rains, it's sunny, but it's just someone's thought about it and gone, you know, we've got this iPad here, it does this. But this is quite a nice way.
It is smooth and lovely, and it's not that cheap though, is it?
Well, there's a free version,
right?
And it's
yay.
Jolly good.
Sorry.
Is that Weather Space HD then?
That's what I was going to ask.
Because I downloaded it's crap as well. It just like it's like you're on an aeroplane and you're flying across the sky.
Oh, yeah,
Christ knows why I want to see that.
No, no, no. You've got a, it shows you lots and lots of different pictures. So you get like hot summer's days and it'll show you a cornfield with swaying corn in it and it's like a little video playing constantly in the background. It does look quite, it looks gorgeous.
The full screen one?
Yeah, you're obviously tasteless. There we go.
Obviously, it's just a weather
app. Have you run out of Prozac?
I tell you what,
the hell did we get to Prozac?
I don't know.
Will, whatever you're coming up with is rubbish.
Right. Dr. Happy Mike, say again.
What?
What is cool is...
OS 8, that's cool. I saw it the other day. I started the machine up and I looked at it. And see what's cool is that you switch... No, 8, 6, system 6.
OS 6, yeah, right.
Yeah, because it starts like a flipping bang. It's brilliant. It doesn't do anything, but it was really nice to see it again. It was like an old friend coming back. Aww. And you turn the machine on and it goes bing, and you're there.
It's DOS brilliant. Was and quite quick as well.
Sorry?
I bet that
DOS was quite quick.
That equal load.
I bet that'll run on the A5 chip.
Yeah.
Steve in the chat room is saying Will is a Mardi sod today. So, Mardi sod, have you got a pick for us?
Well, look, I've just launched Weather HD, right?
Yeah, go on.
And I would say 80% of my screen is filled with this picture of me flying over clouds. And what's the point? I don't want to see that. Why do I want to see that? What's that got to do with
it? Growl in the corner, then you'd have something else to look at.
Yeah, but it's just like full screen. It's this huge thing.
But there's text on it as well that tells you what the weather's doing, the temperature.
Oh, yeah, like now in the bottom left. It's like, oh, Christ, we've got this great big space. What are we going to do? Oh, I know. We'll take a picture at the top of an aircraft and put that on the screen.
Yeah, but that's not all that's on there, mate. There's lots and lots of other pictures on there.
Have you ever been to an art gallery and not moaned about the size of the wall?
Yeah, but the unused space.
I'm sorry, there's space around this picture. There's a portrait and it doesn't go wall to wall. I'm not watching this.
I can't believe I'm the only one not to think this. All right, is there anybody else in the chat room who thinks this?
No, actually, everyone said fantastic app so far.
I'm going to agree with Will.
Is there anyone that thinks that Weather HD is a pile of shite?
I'm agreeing with Will. I've never seen it, but I respect him and his views. So do my children and my wife. Right.
Flying clouds can bugger off if you're Will Green. There we go. Yeah.
Well, it's ridiculous. I mean, the whole screen full of flying clouds. I mean, that doesn't
have
tell
you
anything.
Have you ever read words?
Well, I mean, what is good about it, I will agree, is when you see the satellite images and the moon and stuff like that, what would be much better for me, anyway, instead of having like a huge picture of a flying cloud, would be to have more of a dashboardy sort of thing. So it's segmented into what the moon's doing, what the...
Which it does do on the night view. It's the daytime, Will. That's why you're not seeing that. You only look at it and complain during the day. If you look at it at night, it's got pictures of the moon on in the correct moon phase.
He's already had too much wine then.
No, it's
I
not
want the
that.
Signature I mean, bigger, not so much painting.
You've got it on your iPad, and you open it up once every 6 weeks, don't you?
No, it's not my iPad. I'm talking about the Mac version. Are we talking about the Mac version?
No, iPad version. No.
iPad version.
Oh, no, I'm talking about the Mac OS X version.
Well, no, but they're the same. But you probably open it up every 6 weeks. And you open it up and go, same frigging picture, and switch it off again. And it just coincides with the fact that every time you open it, it shows you the same picture.
So let me, okay, let's cut to the chase. Has anybody tried it on OS X here?
No.
Right.
No.
Right.
I told you, we all know you're right.
But I didn't know what, the OS X version.
Well, on my desktop, right, at the moment, I've got a great big picture of my kids and a few icons down the side. It's really annoying. I want my icons filling the screen and I just want to vaguely see the kids in the background somewhere.
Go and try it. Honestly, the OS X version.
We will.
It's, yeah, what?
And those screensavers take up the whole screen. It's ridiculous.
It's not a screensaver, it's an application.
Will, I'm slightly concerned about you today. You're very aggressive. Is your cool thingy iNyQuil?
Right, I'll shut up anyway.
So Drummer in the chat room says he's never tried it, move on, and I prefer the best weather app in the world, which is to look out the window,
!! That makes a lot of sense. I agree with that too.
At least that isn't full high definition.
This week's show editor is Drummer in the chat room. Yeah. I'll move on when I'm damn well ready. Have you got a pick for us, Will?
I have.
I dread to ask after that, but go ahead.
It's really good. It's a British company, and I struggled for years. Have I been really grumpy today?
No. You've been ill. Really. Carry on.
I'm sorry if I'm
no, perfectly understandable.
I don't mean to be.
Perfectly understandable. Go ahead.
It's called Freeway. It's an application called Freeway. It's a web design program. And I've struggled for years with the sort of Dreamweaver and all the other stuff. And it's incredibly complicated. And there's the other stuff out there as well, like is it Sandvox's something or other? And there's a few of them, isn't there? But most of them seem to be, you either go to one extreme, which is Dreamweaver, or you have to learn CSS coding and all that gubbins. And you go to the other extreme where you get iWeb and then the other ones, which are like, you know, they give you templates that are customizable to a certain extent. And I'm not slagging them off in any way. But if you want to get a bit more serious, but don't want to go down the whole Kodi route, Freeway is a wonderful piece of software. It's at the moment it's Freeway 5.5, and you can just create the most amazing websites in it. It handles all the CSS stuff, it handles everything, all the Jimmy Java and all that gubbins, and it stops you getting involved in the coding side of stuff. It's great. British company, wonderful piece of program. The company's called SoftPress. SoftPress, and the program is Freeway. And the great stuff with them as well, you ring them up and you say, look, I'm stuck at this point, and their technical support is ace, and it's free, and it's just like a national number, and they say, well, sort this out, you numpty, and they're always very good. So Freeway, yes.
Jolly good.
Pains me to admit it, but someone else recommended that to me yesterday.
What was that? Freeway?
Yeah, it pains me to agree with Will, but it's true. It's true. It does take up too much screen, you know, but never mind.
Real love-hate relationship.
I love him. He hates me.
Oh, no. I'm really sorry if I'm grumpy. I don't mean to.
It's a pleasure.
No one's upset, mate.
I was just influenced by Dr. Happy Matt last week, and I just wanted to carry it forward, you know.
Blame someone else. That's the way.
Right. My pick of the week is a doozy. My peak of the week is Apple Customer Services for MobileMe.
Oh, here we go.
Sit back and relax.
Here's another 30 minutes.
If you thought that Alex's was long.
Thank you. Oh, you got to do some work.
Can I go pop some popcorn first, please?
Background to the story is I have MobileMe, and I've been waiting because I thought they're going to make it free, or they're going to really reduce the charge, because 60 quid for syncing your contacts and providing you with an email service is just ridiculous, and 20 gig worth of space. So I held on, I thought, I can't. And someone rang me up and said, have you got that email I sent you a few months back? And of course, I'd stored it in one of the MobileMe inboxes. So I had to go and repay for all of my stuff to be reinvigorated. But unfortunately, it was at 32 days, and they deleted all my stuff at 30 days. Well, that's okay, because I know I've got the backup on the main computer. So I ring up to MobileMe support and ask them to reinstall the email from the backup that I've got locally on my computer. Whoever it was that was on the end of the phone was utterly and totally incompetent. I'll read you the transcript, because they give you this great ability of printing out the transcript of the conversation that you've had. Sadly not, you can only sync the ones on your laptop with the ones on MobileMe. So where are the backed up ones on my laptop then? They're in the mail application. No, they aren't. All mail which was shown prior to renewal has disappeared from the mail application. Where would I find them and sync them? All of these emails were showing 10 minutes ago, and now they're apparently gone. Where were they showing? Says Apple. I had email in the inbox of the MobileMe account, and also created folders and storage for MobileMe where it were all showing all of them as accessible. I renewed the MobileMe account and they had all disappeared. They were removed. Did you sync? No, I didn't sync any mail at all. One moment, let's see if there's anything that we can do from this end. And there was a big gap then at that point. There was over 7 minutes of him saying, is there something I can do at this end? Hello? Yes, still here. Sadly, we were unable to recover them due to the account being inactive for so long that the information was deleted. What you more likely can see is old data in the cache that was waiting to be refreshed. No, that's not the case. The mail folders are stored on my machine as well for offline access. It makes no sense that your servers would overwrite my local data. I don't hold that your answer is anyway sufficient. I understand your frustration. I wish there was more I could do. The mail application doesn't hold data. It's a UI. Where are the fold structures that I created? And it goes on like that with backwards and forwards. The emails aren't there. I've located them myself and put them back in the correct folder. The UI still doesn't show them. How do I get it to show up in the UI? Force close the application and open it back up. Nope, I've done that. It doesn't do it. Well, then you may need to restart the computer. Nope, I really don't. And then there's a big long gap of 7 minutes again. Come on, is this the best you can do? I found the folders for you. I put them back in the relevant directory, and now you can't tell me how to get the mail application to recognize them. Is there anything that you've got other than suggesting that I restart mail and restart the machine? Long pause. I understand the answer may be simple, but I'm afraid I only deal with mobile me. And they hung up.
Do you want to know the answer?
No, hang on, stop. The next thing was, a few hours later, I get an email from a guy called David, David B. Dear Mr. Rankin, my name's David, Mobile Me Senior Advisor for Apple. I'll be in charge of your case from now on. I'm deeply sorry that you had some issues this morning regarding your contacts. As far as I understand, your contacts disappeared and everything now is in a different language. Is that correct, Mr. Rankin? No, it's not. And I gave him a correction on it. And then he wrote back about 5 minutes later. First of all, I'd like to clarify something. I received an email from you at 1550 and you said that your name is Sisku and you signed your email with that. Then 6 minutes later, I received another email signed by you and Rankin. It seems there's a slight difference there. No kidding, Sherlock. Because in one email, the issue's about loss of contacts, which they turned into a Chinese symbol. And in the other email, it's lots of emails, which have been removed and mentioned by my colleague in the chat this morning. Could you please clarify the situation? Once the situation's clear to me, I'll be able to fully resolve the issue and make your Mobile Me account work properly. Thank you very much for your patience. Have a good evening, Mr. Rankin. Or Mr. Sisku. I wrote back clarifying the situation. And all the time, there's a guy called Pratts from PrattsIndustrial.com who's been CC'd on these emails that I hadn't picked up until this guy sends me an email that says, "Dear Mr. Pratts, do you know anyone called Ewan Rankin? He wrote to me with an email on the case that's got the same number as yours. I have to admit, I'm a bit confused. Please apologise to me for this confusion." Why he wants an apology for the confusion, I don't know. "Do you know somebody called Ewan Rankin?" He says it again. "Once I've got an answer, we can definitely focus on your contacts issue. Yours sincerely, David B."
God.
So there you go. Apple customer service for Mobile Me, A1. Don't doubt it.
God.
And that cost me 60 quid for that little email chain. And I still haven't got my emails back because I haven't had time to do the little fix that Dr. Happy Mac very kindly provided for me. Which will work, I'm awfully sure.
Can't you just force it to rebuild your mailboxes?
No, it doesn't work. You have to.
The problem is that if you've got IMAP mail, it stores them in an IMAP box.
Rather than a proper inbox.
Apple Mail will only import mbox files, so you need to fool it into thinking that the IMAP box is an mbox file. And yeah, so there's a step-by-step for doing that.
There you go. Thank you very much, which he sent me, so I'll post those in the chat room as well if they want.
Now, Will, do you agree with any of that or not?
I feel ashamed of my behaviour. Myself. I've been so miserable. So I'm going to agree with everything.
I think it was Ewan's fault.
Thank you, Drummer. No, I've never narrated children's books.
It was a bit like that, wasn't it, after a bit?
So, you know what I found interesting? If you watched the screen, everyone else, all the rest of us were leaning back, wandering our heads right to left, but Will looked completely attentive and he never moved an inch.
That's good, wasn't it? I'm going to write
to NyQuil.
There's a question. Has Mr. Pratt's got his Mobile Me working yet? I'm going to write to Mr. Pratt's and say, "How are you getting on, dude?"
What do you want to write to him? Say, "I've got a contact list here. Is it yours?"
Yes. Have you got my emails? Right. Last word goes to our main sponsors, of course, UK2.net. They are fantastic to us. There's some great deals at the moment. If you go to our webpage, bageltechnews.com, scroll down to the bottom and click on the tracking link. That's the one at the bottom. It's not tracking where you are. It's tracking that we've sent you to them. And if you use this for anything, even if you want to sign into your account, instead of going straight to UK2.net, come through that link because it'll show them that we sent you originally. They've been great to us. They've provided us all our bandwidth, all the stuff that we need to keep ourselves afloat. We've used 3 terabytes so far this month, and we still got the weekend shows from this week to post already. So it's going to go a little bit bigger than that. They love us. We love them. So please look after us by looking after UK2. Every time you click that link, you're proving to them that we make a difference in what we say to you, and you support the network in the process. UK2.net are fantastic. There's an offer code for BagelTech at the moment. If you go to their website and you want co-location services or a VPS server, if you use the offer code BagelTech, you'll get first month free on both services, and you'll also get a free iPad 2 with your co-location services, which is pretty damn special. Also, Don McAllister, who's not here this week, but hopefully he'll be back next week. He's at WWDC, isn't he, in the next couple of weeks. He's given us a very kind offer. If you sign up for Screencasts Online, which has got some fantastic Mac tutorials, they should be right up your street, then use the coupon code BagelTech, and you're going to get 50% off your first 3 months access to his stuff. And it really is phenomenal. Webcasting. Very, very good. Great. Last run around, where can we get a hold of you, Alex?
At Alex G Fox on Twitter, are you singing Bendiki?
Thanks, mate. Kyle?
Twitter as well, twitter.com/KyleSwagger, Swagger with 1G only.
Dr. Happy Mac, the man for the stars?
Yes, at Dr. Happy Mac, 2 P's.
On Twitter?
On Twitter.
And
better...
You do a bit of remote helping as well, don't you, with Max, if any of the listeners want to send you a question.
Yeah, do a tweet thing and I'll try and have a look. Obviously, 140 characters is a little limiting sometimes, but give it a go.
Very good. Thanks, mate.
And he's better known today as Dr. Number One.
Dr. Number One. Oh, yeah, you're number one.
I go for the Riker beard.
Now, you came along a little bit late, Andrew, because one thing that we did find out is you look like Ken Stott pretending to be Hancock.
I do not look like Ken.
Can you not drop that onto his screen?
No, if you go to Google Images and you Google what's his face, Hancock,
Tony
Hancock. Thank you. I couldn't remember his bloody name. Tony Hancock. About halfway down, there's a picture of Ken Stott in the documentary thing on him, and it, just for that split second, it looks like you, mate.
Oh no, he's got that hat on.
Yeah, exactly. It looks just like you,
and
dude.
That's Jerry Lucas. Who is it?
I'll put that on next week. There we go. And last but by no means least, the man himself, Tony Hancock, Will Green.
What?
Where can we get hold of you?
Grumpy gits are us.
Yes.
Bar
my voice is going out. BritishMac.com.
It better not. You've got another show to do in a few minutes.
Oh, it'd be ace by then.
Right.
It'd be ace by then.
Dr. Happy Enterprise is a suggestion in the chat room. Right, mate. Thank you very much for your attendance. We love having you along. And we'll see you next week. We're back to normal. We should have the full panel on. And we've got BagelTech Unexpected in about 40 minutes' time, the first episode. And anything could happen. So I have no idea what we're going to talk about. Come and join us then. Thanks very much for listening.